The Sharpshooters, episode 53, March 18th, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. This is a podcast about wrestling and the week in wrestling. Tuesday was our last episode because of someone's schedule.
Yes, and I believe that's a better day for the listeners.
No,
they get us quicker. They get us fresher. They get us more energetic.
But you would think with such being a long day between the shows, that news would generate. Unfortunately, not one single news item. Nothing happened. In this 4-day span since we did the show, there has not been one single news item that has occurred. Not one thing. So the only thing that I was left to do is report on something else. So before we even get into what our only news item is today, our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can leave us a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or dial the voicemail number, which is 310-928-6889. Also, we have a Frapper map. We also have a poll that will be announced this Tuesday. It will finally come down. Hallelujah.
It's going to be done today.
No, Tuesday.
No, it's this day. No. You said that on Tuesday.
No, it's after Saturday Night Main Event.
It is?
Yes, it's after Saturday
that
Night Main
sucks.
Event. Yes, it's not today.
I want that poll gone.
Too bad. It's your creation.
My
creation
sucks now.
So anyway.
It's old. It's played. It's finished. It's too
with that out the way, let's get into the news. The only news item is that today marks the day that Saturday Night Main Event returns to NBC. Today at 8 o'clock. Is that 8 Eastern or...
That's eight everywhere.
I think it's 8 Eastern too. I think it's 5 o'clock there, 8 o'clock here. Doesn't matter.
It's 5 o'clock there, 8 o'clock here. That's the wrong time.
No, it's not. You know, because we never
get Pacific time.
Being on the West Coast, we never get a true live
feed. I know that, but you said it's 5 o'clock over there. That means it's 8 o'clock over there.
Yeah, that's
you,
what
you Mark, said. It was 5 o'clock over there.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock over there, 8 o'clock over here.
It's Eric, it's 8 o'clock over there.
It doesn't matter. I don't even care.
Let's go
over the Saturday Night Main Event preview. We have one of the first matches of the night. We have Main Event versus Main Event. We have John Cena and Triple H teaming up versus Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, and Kurt Angle. This match is going to be very interesting considering what just occurred on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Who's going to turn on who?
Well, my whole theory about this whole match right here. It's that it's unfair to have John Cena, who has beaten Kurt Angle, and it just eliminates that fact. John Cena, greatest wrestler alive today, and he's going to prove it tonight.
Actually, you know what? You ragging on John Cena, but whenever we have our WrestleMania preview show, I have some candid comments to make
about
that.
We're going to have a WrestleMania preview show?
Hopefully, if everything works out correctly.
It hasn't worked out so far.
I haven't tried, so I have to wait. All right, so Marcus, who do you think is going to win this match?
Huh? Double DQ or something. Nobody's going to win.
I think the Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, Kurt Angle is going to win.
I don't know, but wouldn't that seem a little... It's 3-on-2. Wouldn't that just make sense or something?
I don't know.
I say double DQ.
All right. Then we have Shawn Michaels versus Shane McMahon in a street fight.
Shawn has to win, I believe.
Shane is going to win via disqualification. Vince is going to
You can't get DQ in a street fight.
Well, Shane is going to win via Vince. Vince is going to run him over with a car or something. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I doubt that.
Then we have the Boogeyman versus Booker T.
Oh, Boogeyman's going to win.
He is?
Yeah, I'll just figure, you know.
All right.
I mean, he can't wrestle. You got to give him something. You got to give him a victory, I guess.
I guess. Then you have JBL versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in a beer drinking contest.
I say the viewers will be the winners because it's going to be nonstop, total beer drinking, promo, quotalicious action.
And then you have Trish Stratus and Mickie James versus Victoria and Candice. Only thing I see about this match, they're setting up the match between Trish and Mickie at WrestleMania. This is where Trish probably finds out that Mickie beat up Tori.
It was Cowboy Joy.
Marcus, we're going to let that go.
Okay.
That's Saturday Night Main Event. The last thing also, it will be a special edition of The Cutting Edge with Edge special guest Mick Foley. Pretty much somebody going to get knocked out on that episode.
You also forget that Mark Henry has called out The Undertaker on Saturday Night Main Event on this SmackDown.
Well, I kind of was going to point that out when we got to the SmackDown report.
Oh, but you reporting on the Saturday Night Main Event stuff.
Yeah, but it was just, it made more sense.
It doesn't!
I don't know. I think we're just trying to do filler for the show.
We're filling the show. Do you enjoy it? Do you? Oh, also a news story. This is something I failed to bring up. TNA still moving to Thursdays.
Yeah.
And apparently they're just not going to 9 o'clock. They're going to 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Marcus was inaccurate with his report, and that's why he doesn't do the news and I do.
What? Just because I don't have those little notes on the keyboard typing up every word doesn't mean I'm inaccurate. It just means that the truth has been bended some.
No, it just means that you was incorrect about your news story.
I was correct.
E-Crow, Vargas. E-Crow.
Hey,
retort, be like a writer. You have to, if you was a writer for a newspaper.
I said
you
would my sources told me.
You would have to write a retort saying that your sources was wrong.
I would say my sources told me that they were moving, and then my sources ended up being me, so I was like, the source must be wrong. He wasn't that reliable.
Anyway,
50% reliable.
So we're going to take a break right quick. We'll be back with our review of TNA Wrestling, the best of the X Division, Volume 1. Right there. Is pretty much the intro to our standard of our DVD review segment that Marcus takes the time. He sits down, he watches a DVD about wrestling. This one was the best of the X Division.
Why don't you ever look at these DVDs?
Because I have a job and I have to work every day.
Yeah, but you...
And I don't have time. I have other things to do, Marcus. Man. I have other things to do. You the one with the less busy schedule. I've solved this one. Now, before we give you your take on this one.
But you said you was reviewing this one.
No, I said I was. I watched this one. Give me credit. I have to work, Marcus. The DVD reads, TNA Wrestling, the best of the X Division, Volume 1. Innovative, death-defying, outrageous, explosive. Pick any words you want, and you still can't adequately describe the TNA X Division.
I'm going to say jablabable.
AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Chris Sabin, and Petey Williams put the X Division on the map. And performance in X matches had fair. Oh, shit. Well.
Did you don't say quoi? Why are you just going to go silent? What did you do?
Because I don't know.
What?
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, performance in X matches help introduce new stars like Sonjay Dutt, Matt Bentley, and Samoa Joe to wrestling fans around the world.
Now, wait a minute.
This DVD includes the best and most exciting X Division matches in TNA history. Now, why are you saying wait a minute?
What the hell are you doing? You just have to read on the back.
I read the back, but it was kind of hard for me to find out where help was, because as you can see, I forgot the P right there when I typed that up.
Why did you type it? You could have had it off the back.
I don't like, because you see how hard that is to read? Then I would have to turn on the light, and it's red, and no.
Yeah, red text is always bad.
And so anyway, this is a two-disc set. It's 240 minutes long. At Amazon.com, it's $21.99. You can find it cheaper at other places. I think you can go inside Best Buy or something. Find it for $19.99.
Yeah, we found it at Best Buy.
No, we ordered this from Sam's Club for $15.
Well.
Yeah, so you got you don't understand, Marcus.
No, because, you know, we got the Daniels and AJ from Best Buy.
Yes, so, but... You know,
I get confused sometimes, man. I get confused, man.
That's why I'm the producer and you're the color man.
You're the executive producer. I use the money that you... Something like that. I don't know what I do. I don't know what I do, but I do a damn good job at what I do.
You review DVDs.
That's damn right.
Anyway, so this is a two-disc set. Like I said, the first match of the night is a 20-man X-Gauntlet match. This was the first match that determined, I guess, the X-Division champ or just put the X-Division on the map. All I remember
I don't know what it was for.
All I remember is that Hector Garza won.
Hector Garza one. There was like a 19-year-old Puma in there.
Puma was in there.
Psychosis came and went. You had the WWE newly signed Sonny Siaki in there.
Yes, there was a bunch of people in there that weren't considered X-Divisioners just yet. AJ wasn't in there, though.
No, because I think he fought the same night against, like, somebody.
He was the NWA champion, probably.
No, I think he was the champion. X-Division.
Oh. No, I thought this was the first match for the X-Division.
No.
Oh. Wait.
You got us all confused, man.
You really got to watch the DVD.
You were all confused. That's AJ's DVD when they have that little tag in, tag out. That's the first for the X-Division title.
Oh.
What are you doing?
This is an X-Gala.
This is a battle royal.
All right,
don't
pretty
know
much.
What is it for?
They really didn't know. I didn't know Hector Garza won.
You had Kazarian in there, Matt Bailey's former.
Matt Bailey was in there. They were tagging with each other, doing their
Kazarian
thing.
Kazarian started at one, and everybody thought he'd make it all the way.
But he got eliminated by Hector Garza.
Yep, the legendary Hector Garza. And who else you had in there? Who, by the way, is on complete steroids? But that's a different story. Who else was in there? You know, they had numerous guys. Sanjay was in there.
You had a bunch of people you have never heard of, pretty much.
Actually, did Sanjay start off?
Yeah, Sanjay started off with Kazarian.
Yes, and, you know, it progressed.
Oh, Spanky was in there.
Alex Shelley
was in there.
And, like, 18 was in there.
Yeah, it was a lot of people in there. After that, the next match on the DVD was Petey Williams versus AJ Styles. Decent match.
Decent?
It was decent.
Decent?
Yes.
What did you say?
This wasn't Ultimate X. This was just a regular match.
I know.
It was just a decent match.
Good match.
Petey got the win, right?
Did he?
I think he won with the Canadian Destroyer.
Did he win this one?
Yes, he did, I think. We really should have took better notes on this
No,
one.
Because I haven't seen this in 5 weeks.
Hey, well, my bad.
I'm supposed to be reviewing, but you picked the days when I'm supposed to be reviewing these DVDs. It's been some time.
Well, you're supposed to come to me and let me know what you reviewed.
I do, but you say, nah, I would rather view Christopher Daniels first. And I didn't see that one. That was the last one I saw.
Well, damn it, this is your segment. You tell me which DVD you gonna watch, and I'll do what I do.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Okay, anyway, so since Bart's never remember none of the matches, really.
How come you don't have the winners or who for?
Because I was just putting the matches on there for people to see the DVD.
Oh, okay.
And then you have Chris Sabin versus Christopher Daniels.
Excellent match, you know. I don't remember none of these matches.
Then you have,
how am I supposed to review this?
Then you have,
the whole DVD is good. We can just say it like that.
All right, then let me just run down the rest of the matches.
The match, and then I'll describe them.
You have Petey Williams, AJ Styles, Chris Sabin, and Ultimate X. You have AJ versus Christopher Daniels in the Iron Man match, 30-minute Iron Man match. You have AJ Styles, Elix Skipper, also known as Primetime at that time.
Primetime means Skipper.
Christopher Daniels, The Truth, Ron Killings in the Ultimate X match. You had Chris Sabin, Matt Bentley, Sonjay Dutt, and Shocker in an escape match, which I believe is a cage match, right, Martin?
It was a cage match, yes.
Then you have AJ Styles versus Sean Waltman. Then you have the one appearance by Samoa Joe versus Chris Sabin.
A hell of a match. Anyway, the cage match was very good. I mean, they had Trinity do a moonsault off the top of the cage, and she wasn't even in the match. She was
Can I ask a question before we even start? Doesn't Chris Sabin win in every match that he's in on this DVD?
About, he wins every match anyway. I mean, you see Chris Sabin. Oh, damn, he won. He doesn't win the Ultimate X match.
He doesn't?
No, AJ wins that one.
Oh, okay.
And then the next one, Christopher Daniels win. And then that match is featuring Kay Quick, who I guess was going to be in the X Division for somewhat, but he wasn't really in it.
Uh-huh.
So he was the first eliminated in the match. And then Daniels and Ian Skipper at the time were just breaking up from being Triple X. This was the form, pretty much, kind of like the dissension right here, in which he finally turns on Ian Skipper somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jump AJ. And
that was the downfall of Triple X?
I don't know if it was the downfall. I think that was already separate at the time.
We have no history of TNA, really.
We suck at their history, man. But it's not our fault. It's the people's fault. We're not providing the West Coast with any type of TNA knowledge unless we pay $9.95 on the pay-per-view.
Okay, Marcus, so if you have money to spend...
Wait a minute. We can't just skip it. We got to get more insight. This segment can't be 30 seconds.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Okay?
This is
my segment. It's my segment. That's what it is. Okay. All the matches are great. I mean, I'll buy this hard drop. You know, buy
okay, wait a minute. Hold on, pause. I'm just about to ask you that question, and you tell me you can't ask me that question because we got to talk about some more matches. Then you go into the matches like, if I had money, I would buy it. How you going to do that?
Because this is my segment. Okay. Maybe I have the more inside of matches because I don't remember half of them right now, okay? I don't remember because it's been numerous weeks since I watched this DVD. So, my brain's a little forgotten right now.
I had told you last week, though, we was doing this one.
No, you didn't.
Should we bring Ryan in since he just recently
He didn't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. You effed it all up. You effed the segment, Eric. All
right, so Marcus, what DVD will you be reviewing next week?
I don't know. I'm reviewing the DVD next week.
What, do you have something to review?
No.
You have something you can rewatch?
No.
Why not?
Because I watched it all.
Then whatever segment you gonna have, Marcus?
I do the news, man.
You don't do nothing, but the Saturday show is supposed to be your show, remember?
No, it's not.
Yeah, remember when you was talking about picking up the music and stuff? The Saturday was your show, man, Monday was my show?
That's episode 12.
So pretty much you don't want to do nothing but be the color man, huh?
No, I want to do the show, but the review segment, I have nothing to review. At the current time, we reviewed all the...
We ain't reviewed all the old stuff that we had.
I don't want to go back then.
Why?
That's too old.
Some people might want to see
go rewatch stuff.
Some people might want to see the Rob Van Dam DVD, but they don't know about that one.
Buy it! It's Rob Van Dam. It's DVD. Simple as that. TNA, buy the Ultimate X Division. Don't buy Christopher Daniels.
Let me translate this, Marcus. Pretty much, you don't want to go back and watch old stuff. Kind of do a job to help the listeners decide.
No, it's not that I'm not don't want to go back. It's that I have to go back to see every match, and then I have to remind. You know how many hours that is?
You have the time?
No, I don't. Not anymore. I'm busy.
You're busy.
I'm busy.
All right, we're both busy. So what we're going to do after this botched segment of a review of a DVD that we go out there and buy.
Look, I say buy it. I mean, it doesn't hurt. None of the matches are even cut. It's nothing close to Christmas.
It's 240 minutes for $20.
Oh, also, we'll say at the end, it's the only negative part in it. It's the... this is what I want to say on this DVD. I wish they would have had pre-8-sided ring X Division. I wish they would have had it back in Nashville in the Asylum, some of that stuff. More of that, so I get more TNA history. I would have preferred some more of that to start off. And then I would have preferred not to have the Jerry Lynn interview in the end.
When you think in general, shouldn't they release a TNA history DVD anyway? When does that Bloodiest Brawls DVD come out?
I don't know.
As though it's been advertised all over the ring like it was done on their pay-per-view and stuff like that.
Well, anyway, let me say also want to say this. They're like Jay Lynn, the innovator of the X Division, yet they put no Jay Lynn matches on this DVD, in which this is supposed to be the first ever Best of the X Division.
Volume 1.
And they could, you know, put his match against AJ and Low Key on there. That was on the AJ's DVD, because it's supposed to be the best X Division. Those were some hell of good matches, as I like to retort. And it's just that they gonna put the innovator X Division in there, and like, okay, I get it. But then they had that stupid interview in the end about his life story, and it's just very bad produced. I mean, it's just this light shining on his eye. He's sitting in the corner looking up like this, look tired, and look like he got a cold. And then they just ask him questions, and I just say, I don't care. Indeed. They could have left that off. I wouldn't mind seeing commentary on these.
That's what, you know what, they don't have that on a lot of matches. That would be kind of cool if they would just do commentary with the wrestlers and talk about how they deal with their matches. Yeah. Not many of these DVDs have that.
Only one that has had commentary was Christopher Daniels going over his, like, 30-second match against that guy from his old days when he had the hair and all that. That's the only one I've seen with commentary.
But that was bonus features, right?
Huh? Yeah, that was a bonus feature. This also has bonus features. They have a tag match with Triple X versus, I can't remember who it was. It wasn't AMW, though. It has some good stuff on this DVD. Very produced, but I would like commentary on like some of the Ultimate X matches. How do they plan their stuff out? You know, just some little more insight to what drives these guys, or
makes them want to put their body on the line night after night.
Yes, night after night, risking their lives, twisting and twirling. See, I turned the segment around. There we go.
Whatever.
We can end it right there.
All
right. Bye.
We'll be right back with our report on Friday Night SmackDown. live from Louisiana, Powerball presents Friday Night SmackDown.
Who the hell's Powerbomb?
Powerbar.
Oh, you said Powerbomb.
We ain't got no sponsor. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
You can't. This is a SmackDown. You can't box that beginning.
Then we just
normally watch... all you have to do is just say, this is a nice theme song.
I just want to say hello, everybody. Well, this is the St. Patrick's Day edition of Friday Night SmackDown. I didn't see it on Friday. Marcus didn't see it on Friday. We saw it this morning just a couple of seconds ago. I was out drinking. Marcus was at school. That's why we sound like crap today on this show. What can we say?
Yeah, you know, working all night at school is junk, man.
All right.
I'll say Patrick's Day of all days.
So what happens is this show opens up showing what Mark Henry did to Kurt Angle amongst the organization of the one Randy Orton.
The one? He's not the one. He's the man of destiny. The legend killer.
Who the hell is the one?
That's Jet Li.
Anyway, so, believe it or not, the first match of this night is Finley versus Lashley in a lumberjack match, a.k.a. also Money in the Bank qualifying match. This was, like, extremely early to me for the simple fact that I thought this could have been, like, maybe the main event for the first hour of the show or something like that.
Yeah, but they started the show off, and let's just go around and just say this match...
It didn't disappoint, but it wasn't as great.
It wasn't as good as they've been selling their feud.
I think of pointing out the chaps or the stuff that Roe Animal.
Yeah, seeing Animal was hilarious.
With his
Why
new
was
gimmick.
He wearing assless chaps and everything? He was just wrong. Everything about it. Let me tell you this.
Marcus, let me go over the match.
No, I just want to get the Lumberjacks out there. We gotta say who the Lumberjacks
are. Okay,
I'm not gonna
give
all them. Lumberjacks feed the Mexicos. This is from Lashley's side. Mexicos, Kendrick in London, Funaki, Scotty Too Hotty, Matt Hardy,
Tatanka.
And Tatanka. And on the other side, you got Ouch, Sylvain, you know, the Gemini, Simon Dean, Assless Chaps Animal, Nunzio Vito, and Cash and
Noble. Jamie Noble, no appearance on SmackDown, y'all.
What is this coming to? Anyway, it just seemed like
everybody forget about Regal.
Regal was there? Yes, he was. He was there. And pretty much the bad guys looked like they had the better group.
Alright, so before we even give the insight, let's tell you what happened in this match. Before the match even started, they showed us what happened that just started the feud with Lashley and Finley when, you know, Finley tried to attack them, hit him with the shillelagh, the car destruction, flipping the car over, attempted murder, all that good stuff.
Yes, good stuff. That's good stuff when you attempt murder.
When Lashley gets out to the ring, he boots Finley out of the ring, and you know what Finley does? He clocks Funaki for no good reason,
because yes.
Funaki was a lumberjack.
Well, the lumberjacks were punks in this match.
No, Marcus, well, after we go over what
Do
happened.
Do we have to?
Yes, Marcus. Yes, Marcus,
moment.
Marcus, stop. After
moment.
Marcus, after the match, we'll talk about the flaws. Come on, Marcus. Lashley lands a couple of clotheslines and flips Finley over. Finley goes out for a break. The lumberjack square off. You have the good guys versus the bad guys. Finley then pushes Lashley off of the apron after AJ distracts him. The heel lumberjacks The heel lumberjacks pound on Lashley every time he is tossed out of the ring. Finley slows the match down with some stiff blows. Finley misses a spear and rams into the turnbuckle. Lashley lands a belly-to-belly throw. Lashley lands a one-yard delay vertical suplex. He then gorilla presses Finley on top of the heel lumberjacks. Then Lashley goes outside the ring. He fights off the heels lumberjacks by himself. The match ends by Sylvain hopping inside the ring with a chair. Lashley spears him. The ref is distracted. Finley clocks him with the shillelagh. Gets the win. He's in the Money in the Bank match. Bad part, Marcus, let's get into it. The lumberjack were awful for the good guys.
Yes, Lashley's side.
The faces were awful.
They were terrible. I mean, first, Finley goes out the ring. He gets thrown out by Lashley. And then Funaki walks over, gets one punch in the face. He's down. Next thing you know, all the lumberjacks back away from Finley and let him throw himself back in the ring. And then he threatens them, and they do nothing but back away.
No, the whole match, though, Finley hops out there like he's going to do something. They don't punch him. They don't do nothing. And you know what?
He attacked them!
Yeah, no, but in the history of lumberjack matches, even the face lumberjacks They fight the bad guy. Yeah. They weren't doing nothing. These were like the laziest group of any. But then on the other side, the Hill Lumberjacks were great.
They were rapping.
But
wolves.
Did you notice that there was extremely a lot more bad guy Lumberjacks than they were the good guy?
I mean, when Lassie had Scotty Too Hotty out there, I was like, damn, that's it. He had the worst set of Lumberjacks ever.
And then my also another issue for me, what could have made the ending a lot better is like when they had the point where Lashley was out there squaring off and fighting off all the Lumberjacks. Mm-hmm. This is when the face Lumberjack should have came in, had a big battle, then won the Lumberjack. The ref is distracted. Then Finley clocks in with a shillelagh for the win because of the Lumberjacks out there.
That would have made more sense. But instead,
Sylvain,
bitch ass, that's what they are. I have to use bad names because this is what they are. Kids, don't listen to me. This bitch ass Lumberjacks gonna stand over there and let Lassie fight 100 Lumberjacks. It wasn't 100, but you know. Fight all the bad guy Lumberjacks, the heels. And then they just stand there looking like, well, he's really giving no hand. He don't need us. And then you see Matt Hardy just looking. And then you see, Funaki on the other side of the ring, just looking.
And Savon hopped in the ring with the chair. You see them trying to grab his leg, but why
didn't no real attempt?
Why didn't someone like jump in the ring? It the ending was flawed. You have a big brawl with the Lumberjacks like you always do. Finley uses celebrity. He wins the match.
And I don't know, what's with the old guys and the Money in the Bank anyway?
Because you gotta have some Matt wrestlers plus the high fly, because you have to give something for the high flyers to take a break, Marcus. When,
are they actually going to give this one time unlike last time seeing Rush? That sounds about a 12-minute match. It was Rush.
Marcus, you have six people in this one. Was it six people last time? I don't know. I think so because, you know, the John Cena Triple H match can't really go that long. I don't think it can.
Well, Triple H has an arsenal of things he can do with a sledgehammer.
That's true. So, directly after this match, we go backstage and we see Eminem checking out the Muscle and Fitness magazine. Melina interrupts and discovers that they are not reading the Muscle and Fitness magazine, but the Playboy magazine. Melina says she is going to handle some business with the magazine. Then she finds Crystal standing on the side. She tells her that she needs to learn that she is a top diva in WWE. Virgil then appears, and Melina calls Eminem over. They start to make fun of him until he pulls out his sword.
Yes.
Just seeing Virgil show up is pretty nice.
It's nice because the funny thing is about this whole segment, Eminem, not Melina, Nitro, and Mercury actually had comments.
They talked.
I just like, wait a minute, these guys
but
talk?
But I was disturbed because I was like, are they doing the gang or they're reading the Muscle and Fitness? I had no idea.
That they were looking at Candace Michelle's Playboy, and they was like, oh, okay. But then Melina come over there, and then she takes Vince's cover of his Muscle and Fitness, and that kind of creeped me out.
She was like, okay, I'll let you know when she said she was going to do something.
Yeah, I don't need her to, like, if you're looking at Vince, it's like, what are you doing with that?
Yeah, all right. Then after this match, I guess,
77-year-old man.
Once you saw Burchill, and then you saw the next person come out to the ring, Regal and Jillian, you figured that this is about to be a mixed tag match. My question is, was this match just made, or was Burchill backstage looking for Crystal?
No, apparently they were already going to have this match. That's why Crystal was apparently stretching before Melina came out.
And so Burchill just came looking for
her? Yeah, he was probably already there.
You know what? Sit on some tea. When they came out, I said, Crystal can be his first mate. He can even be his scallywag.
What the hell? A scallywag isn't a good thing, I don't think.
Hey, this is wrestling.
You can't. It's the first mate. That sounds much better than a scallywag.
So anyway, you have Regal and Jillian Hall, and I guess she's not the image consultant for JBL no more?
No, that's been passed.
She's a wrestler now.
Yeah, she's a professional wrestler.
Versus Swashbuckling Burchill and Crystal.
Now he got a better swing on this one.
Yes, he did. Marcus, you was really kind of scared about this match because
Let me tell you something before the match even started. I was disturbed. I would have liked to see Crystal swing down as well instead of having the stupid run trot out there.
It would have been nice if they would have swung down together.
Yeah,
like you
something
said.
Like that. Yeah, but all right.
Or maybe if you had back to Burchill's gimmick. Wouldn't it work better if he was a tag team, too? They were like pirates, and they swing in from the different sides of the ring they both land. I don't know. I just think you need to give Burchill somebody
he
else.
He needs more pirates. You can't be Captain Burchill without a platoon or something.
You have to have a crew.
You have to have your swashbuckling crew.
And you got to steal somebody's belt. You just have to.
You have to steal. He can't be a good pirate.
He can't.
Can't give your doubloons to the people.
But once again, Marcus was kind of scared because of Jillian and Crystal in the match, and I'm still adamant saying that Jillian can wrestle.
I never said she couldn't. Remember, I'm the one pointing out that her and Stacey Keebler had a good match on Velocity.
When did you point this out?
Long time ago.
But it's like week two. Marcus, last week you said you didn't even watch the Jillian Divas Uncovered match.
What?
Last night.
I watched it.
No, you said you and Ryan was distracted. You didn't pay
that. Yeah, we were distracted by
not
really knowing what Divas Uncovered match was. And then I watched it.
Well, anyway, let me give you the quick thing of this match. Jillian lands a springboard back elbow in the corner on Crystal, which then Crystal returns with a twirl hand scissor. Nice, quick moves from the women. Know what they do? They tag out right away. They let the professionals get
in. Now, this was the rare thing. The women started the match.
Yes.
This is like the first time in mixed tag match history in which the men are sitting on the sideline waiting to get tagged.
Well, Jillian and Crystal just like that. They kind of like made themselves start it. And I don't know how much background Crystal has, but
Ohio Valley, I
have to say something. She has made so much more strides than Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley is awful. I mean, Crystal is actually somewhat believable in the ring. She's green still, but compared to Ashley,
and she has a spear and a tilt-a-whirl hair scissors.
Yeah,
and that considers a women's wrestler.
And,
most of the time.
And the worst part about it, Jillian and Crystal, they really float really well together.
Yeah, it just seems like maybe they can have a good match.
And this is more reason why you have to make that women's belt interpromotional.
Yeah,
you just have to do that because you have a lot of divas on SmackDown who can wrestle, Melina and Jillian. And you have your hussies on Raw.
Hussies?
The hussies, because we got Candice, Tori, and Ashley.
Ashley got a broken leg or one.
Yeah, but still, she's there. You know what? We got distracted from the rest.
Yeah, don't forget about Maria. Yeah, we are totally
all right,
out of time.
Let me get
back. What are we talking about? Where are we? Get the results to the match.
All right. Burchill lands a delayed leg drop. Regal then lands some European uppercuts, but Burchill backdrops him. Regal lands some wicked forearms and knees to the face of Burchill. Crystal gets inside the ring and spears Jillian and mounts her, but Jillian pokes her in the eye. Crystal then in turn throws Jillian out of the ring. This kind of distracts Regal. He then I guess Cole has dubbed this move. Regal had walked the plank.
Oh,
that was a C4. Burchill delivered for the win. This C4, or walking the plank, looked better than last week's one because they had a better angle.
Yeah.
It's a very impressive move.
It's a very impressive move, but it looks better on Paul London. Better athletes look better.
Better on Paul London.
Yeah, he did on Paul London back a while in Velocity. A different story. But anyway, hey, it depends on the person he does it, it looks better on.
I thought it looked damn good on Regal.
It looked good on Regal this time, but previous week it was a little sloppy. Maybe because he was a little nervous or something. I don't know. I don't know what it just didn't look like it had any impact on the last one. But this one had impact. This match seemed serviceable, but it just seemed like, eh.
No, actually, I thought it was a very good to me, it was more of an opening match than the second match. I think you should have had the Lumberjacks after this match.
But how could you start from a whole SmackDown show with a pirate?
No, I understand that the reason why this was second because you have to have that backstage interaction, mm-hmm. but couldn't have
I think they could have had Booker T first.
It's a lot of things.
Or JBL, I mean, Old and Benoit, they could have had.
No, like I said, I think that the Lumberjack should have been the main event for the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Benoit-OJ match could have went there. And speaking of Booker T, like Marcus said, right after this match, we're backstage, and Charmel is completely freaked out about the Boogeyman. Booker then hands Charmel a box and says that their problems with the Boogeyman will be solved with what's inside of that box. We have no idea what's inside that box until we come back from commercial.
I felt the box was going to fail even before.
unless it was a pistol.
It was in the box. Unless they had a pistol or bought a sword for Burchill, it was useless.
What happened? We get back from break, and Charmel comes out still terrified, but apparently she is dressed in the garment that was inside the box. It is a beekeeper's outfit.
That fits the crown on top of her head.
Yes, but she is still terrified by the Boogeyman present, and she introduced Booker T. Do you know what we got after this, Marcus? We got a squash match on SmackDown and God knows how long, because the Booker T faced, and I quote, the fire, Jeremy Young.
Who the hell is the fire?
Marcus, he had fire on his tights. That means he is the fire. He's hot stuff.
Not only on his tights, on his boots, and on his knee pads. And he may even have the wristbands with fire on him.
Maybe he's a local in Louisiana, but he was the fire. But tonight, Booker T had the extinguisher.
Yeah, this was what, this is the worst match of the night to me.
Yeah, Booker T dominated the fire, Jeremy Young.
With chops and...
in the squash match. Booker then wins the match with his scissor kick. And then directly after the match, this is what I was waiting for. You knew the Boogeyman was going to come out. The Boogeyman music hits. Booker T goes to the ramp. Charmel runs the other way. So first thing that you know, when a wrestler heads toward the ramp, the wrestler's never coming down that ramp.
Back the other way.
So anyway, Booker goes back around. He grabs Charmel, but then he decides that they're going to hide under the ring, which made no complete sense to me.
No, it didn't whatsoever. And
so pretty much when they're under the ring, next thing you know, they're chased from under the ring because the Boogeyman is already underneath there. Mm-hmm. They run up the ramp. Boogeyman dances in the ring with the worms in the mouth. My question is, how long does the Boogeyman have to stay under that ring?
Well, it didn't seem like that long. It was just, what, two matches?
Yeah, but the point is that, is he just chilling down there, or... I would like to love to see what's under the ring. It's like, when do you put the Boogeyman under there? Because you can't let him come out there when the fans are in the stadium, right?
Nah, you could. You could. I mean, whenever the lights go out, you can just put him under there.
You know, that's a good point. Because
you know they cut the lights sometimes to show the things up there.
Oh, good point, good
point. You know, to show the big time and all that. They do stuff like that. That's trickery.
You know what? I think my favorite segment of the show came up, besides segment.
By the way, this segment was boring and useless.
I was looking forward to this one, but they really botched this one. Of all the weeks that they have been doing this.
I mean, Jeremy Fire just got his ass whooping.
The Fire.
And before Booker T even did the center kick, it looked like he was doing all duking.
What the hell was he doing?
I don't know. He was like molding something in his hand. Man, was he trying to make a fireball? And go, no, I got... And then he had the kick. When he set him up for the scissors kick, because he has never set up nobody for the scissors kick really like that. The whole segment was just destroyed. It was bad and useless, I like to say.
But then they kind of picked it up with the next segment, which I really didn't understand what a point-counterpoint interview was. But it was this interview between Randy Orton, Kurt Angle, and Rey Mysterio. Pretty much, Michael Cole was supposed to ask questions to these wrestlers, and they were supposed to respond. But unfortunately, Randy Orton had a different idea of what he wanted to do.
Here's the question. What do they call these interviews exclusive?
I don't know.
Oprah's not looking for it.
Oprah's not looking for an interview.
It's not like
Raw's going to do this interview. It's not like TNA management going to try to interview these guys. So I don't know why it's exclusive. Say,
you have an interview. Orton's in a chair. I would prefer the contract signing.
Me too.
I mean, this is useless to have TNA set. What did Washington TNA say? You know what? We got to have Monty Brown now.
But Marcus.
You know.
But you have to admit, they pulled this off better than TNA did.
It just seemed like there was more heat.
This segment was just to establish Randy Orton as an asshole. That's all this was. Randy asked Angle about his health. Kurt said that he lives with pain every day. Then Kurt is about to go into his rant about he won a gold medal. Randy says, no, shut up. We don't need to hear about this. Let's talk about Ray.
We know you broke it with a freaking neck. Whoopity-doo. And, you know.
Then Randy says that the only reason why Ray is in this main event is because the people feel sorry for him. Kurt then interrupts and comes to the defense of Ray Mysterio and says that he deserves this and Randy didn't because... he cheated to get this way, and then he used Eddie's feelings. But Randy pointed out a thing that he used a loophole to get the title.
That was a good point.
And he would never win a title if Orton was in the Battle Royal.
Which is another good point.
Because Orton was occupied with The Undertaker.
No, it wasn't The Undertaker.
Yeah, what
it was Booker T, the substitution for the United States title.
Indeed, you're correct.
See? Insight.
Then after this, Randy called Kurt Angle, and I quote the first thing, not a transitional champion, no, Marcus, but a paper champion.
A paper champion? What the hell? Does he fold under the pressure?
I don't know.
Is he easy to cut
through? But you know what Kurt responded with? He called him a paper contender.
Oh, because Orton is a former champion, but yeah, he lost there 2 months.
Yes, he said, Kurt was like, I won it 6 times, you won it once.
And you lost in like a month, the Triple H again.
Then Randy starts talking about on Rey Mysterio.
And by the way, Randy said damn thing.
He didn't. Randy calls Ray a charity case again, but then Ray finally talks and says being an underdog, dreams come true, and at WrestleMania, he will become the champion. Cole asked about the match tonight and tomorrow.
Michael Cole is here?
Yes.
I thought this was his exclusive, and apparently it was Randy Orton's.
Yeah, he asked about the match tonight and tomorrow and how they can get along as partner. Ray says that Kurt knows that he got his back. Angle says he knows that Ray has his back, and he would, but at WrestleMania, he will treat Ray exactly the same as Randy did because he's not going to lose the title. Randy said it would be a tragedy if Ray and Kurt got hurt tonight. Randy says he will still dominate.
Yes, Randy said a lot.
Randy Orton was a...
asshole!
He was an asshole, but...
And he plays it to the best of anybody.
He plays it to the best of his ability.
He's the best asshole in wrestling right now.
Right now, he's,
he's the best paper contender in the world.
A paper contender.
A paper champion. So, did they not want to use transitional?
I don't know.
Because that's been used by Triple H, Edge, Foley, everybody else that can think of it.
You know what? It's Ray, like you said, Marcus. Saturday night tonight.
Oh, yeah, this is my prediction. Let me... Can I say it?
Go ahead.
I feel at Saturday Night Main Event, you will see the ugly side of Rey Mysterio when he turns on Kurt Angle in the middle of the match.
You know what?
And attack his ribs or something.
It's not going to be intentional, Marcus. You know this.
No, it's going to be intentional.
No, it's not.
Because he said he has his back. You know that.
No.
And then he came out today in the red, white, and blue shirt.
No, what's going to happen, Marcus, is Rey's going to accidentally hit Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's going to go crazy and they're going to start fighting.
I think it has to be intentional.
I don't think so, because Ray is a good guy.
Yeah, but you can still sell him as a good guy. Kurt Angle is still middle of the road. No,
yeah, but still, you can't have the face just turn on him the way, because that makes him an automatic bad guy.
No, it makes him a championship strategist by trying to hurt the champion some
that
more.
Makes
so
you that makes you a dastardly deeder, Marcus.
It makes you a cerebral assassin.
No, only the bad guy looks for the advantage. Good guys go on their raw ability.
Ray is a disadvantage, so if he goes for an advantage, he comes out equal.
All right, the next match of the night is Matt Hardy versus Marcus, who Marcus feels a better wrestler than Tatanka.
No, wait, I never said he was a better wrestler.
Who's in better shape?
No, he's a better partner for Matt Hardy than Tatanka. That's all I said.
Marcus, now when you come out dressed in chaps.
Yep, he looked like he was shopping in Shawn Michaels' dressing room and went to the Blue Oyster and had a ball.
And since we didn't get to say this is for Royal Warrior Animal, and shockingly but true, this was a Money in the Bank qualifying
match.
Yes,
we learned this last week.
My question is, how the hell did Animal get in this match if I didn't ask?
Let me tell you what Animal has done. He was part of the Road Warriors.
All right.
He turned Heidenreich into a champion.
All right. All right, there you go.
Now, by the way, he tried to break Matt Hardy's legs. So
speaking of that, they air why they had beef from 2 weeks ago when they show Animal attacking Matt Hardy's leg. Animal, at the beginning of the match, he focuses and works over the knee of Matt Hardy again. Hardy lands a side effect twice on Animal, but he only can get a two count. Animal then pulls out some brass knuckles and clocks Matt Hardy to score the pin for the victory. Right here, this is where the shit hits the fan. Because there's no way in hell that you're going to have Finley, Flair, and Animal in this Money in the Bank letter match.
You can't do it. People that are over 48.
but I noticed something was up when this idiot stuffed the brass knuckles under his armpit. And when the ref tried to come pull up his arm for the victory, he wouldn't let him. All of a sudden, Marcus' favorite ref, Charles Robinson, comes over, lifts up Adam's arm, and the nucks fall out. He looks at it, reverses the decision, and Matt Hardy wins via disqualification.
This is why I say Charles Robinson should get a promotion. He caught somebody. He reverses the decision.
Marcus, you hate Charles Robinson.
Yeah, but he always makes these weird decisions. Everybody knows that. Every match, he's the one making that weird call. He called it. There's no proof that Animal has ever hit Matt Hardy with that brass knuckle.
But he had brought that
because,
to the ring.
People bring chair in the ring. And by the way, also in this match, shouldn't Matt Hardy be in the queue after what we learned with Shelton poking the eye at referee? Because he elbowed the referee. And that's what I thought Matt Hardy may get DQ'd. And I was nervous a little bit.
Know what the difference was?
What?
Matt Hardy went over there and checked to see if the ref was okay.
Yeah, but it cost him because Animal got those nucks.
Yes, indeed.
But how come the nucks work for Regal but not for Animal?
Because he's Road Warrior
Animal. What gimmick is he stealing? The power of the punch, that's Regal. Chaps of Shawn Michaels back.
Marcus.
Road Warrior is the DOA. He hate balling him.
Mark, he's a Chucky version of Vito.
He's put
that. All he needs is that little biker hat and come out and he is just...
He is gone after WrestleMania.
has to be gold.
I mean, this
I remember seeing Tatanka turn on Matt Hardy.
Honestly, at least Tatanka has a chop and he's gone.
At least Tatanka put on a match. Royal Warrior Animal came out. I was distracted by the chat. This dude, I was expecting him to take him off.
And the funniest thing, you couldn't sell Animal, especially with his close-up picture before Hardy eating Animal. He's like, rawr!
There's a reason why they cover up his face with paint, because he got like a cock-eyed face or something.
I don't know, it's just bad.
Oh, no, it was great. We didn't bring this up, but the Eminem and Burchill thing is when they walked up. Arg!
They said
arg.
They was like, arg, making fun of this. Like we said again, more talking from Eminem.
Yes, indeed.
And I wouldn't mind seeing it. They seem like they could talk.
But once again, if you notice the main event, Eminem has made another main event.
Since they're tag team titles, they have no contenders, apparently. I mean, I guess Paul London and Kendrick is on
the Geminis.
Or
they have to be lumberjacks. You could be a lumberjack.
Yeah, so.
No, I was also disappointed by this episode. There was no cruiserweights. It was like not one.
Well, Helms hurt. Well, yeah, you still have a cruiserweight match.
I mean, see, the thing is, WWE for some reason feel that the only time you can have a cruiserweight match on TV is when Helms is involved. No, you have to have a cruiserweight match putting up somebody else. Why can't Kid Cash fight for Naki? Why can't Jamie Noble fight?
Because they fought on Velocity, bro. That's why the cruiserweight. You gotta watch Velocity to see the cruiserweights.
I know,
they're good wrestlers, man. They have good matches.
I think instead of filling a show up...
We're digressing a lot.
We can digress in this report because we don't have much more in this show, Marcus. Oh. Let's just discuss this Cruiserweight thing. The X Division and TNA, reason why the X Division is successful, that almost, in a little bit of our time that they have, almost every X Divisioner get a little bit of time to shine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the Cruiserweight, you have to go online and watch this. Unfortunately, WWE, not everybody has a high-speed broadband connection and can watch Heat or Velocity.
Not everybody has a Windows machine like Harry.
Yeah, it's like...
And Omar, I believe, have a Mac, too.
Yeah, it's crap that, first of all, that I can't watch it if I have a Mac. If I want to watch Heat, I have to pull out my laptop, which I really don't want to. I mean... Windows people are not the only people that watch wrestling.
Yeah, but we're 92% of Marty.
Shut up. First of all, and then you can't put every last match. Yes, you can put a Lance Cade.
I really digress.
You can put a Lance Cade on Heat. No, you can put a Lance Cade on the Heat. Oh, you want to have our discussion? Okay, after this, since we don't have a top five this episode, we can discuss the flaws of Heat and Velocity, in my opinion.
Let's explain why we don't have a top five this week. Due to St. Patrick's Day and my school getting in the way again, there was no top five. We had no time to really come up with.
We had no production meeting.
We had no type of meeting of what we're going to do for it, and that's why this show is coming out so scrambled.
All right, let's get back into SmackDown.
Match did we just end?
No, we just ended Road Warrior Animal.
Why don't we go Road Warrior Animal to the Cruiserweight?
Because I jumped to Eminem. Then I jumped to how they were main eventing. Then I said, how come we didn't have no Cruiserweight match
tonight? High five for professional digressing.
That's what I'm talking about. Now we got Chris Benoit versus Orlando Jordan. Now the question is, are we going to get a tune-up 25-second match, or will OJ hold his own?
OJ apparently held his own for a good 4 minutes.
But before this even started, JBL came down to the ring with a beer killer. Then they air an Austin video with the awful music, and then JBL joins Taz and Cole for commentary. Marcus, you trying to tell me that the Austin music is not awful?
No, I just said what? You know, it's Austin.
Oh, okay. Now, JBL... Great man on commentary.
He's a great speaker.
Him and Booger T on commentary is... Christopher Daniels needs to just watch them one time and just learn. When JBL said they loaned the wrestling ability from the heavens...
He said so much crap that you don't... That makes totally no sense, but it does make sense from him.
And I would record this match, but this was a very lengthy match compared to that Booger T... That match where we got the Booger T...
Actually, I think the Fire and Booger T had a longer match. Or was it just that match was just that boring?
All right. So how this match goes, Benoit lands a back body drop on OJ, then he delivers chops to him in the corner. He lands a snap suplex and gives him more chops outside the ring. OJ gets some offense in, and he works over Benoit's arm. Benoit lands the Three Amigos, then he follows that up with his Triple Germans. Benoit applies the sharpshooter, and OJ taps. JBL hops inside the ring and clocks Benoit upside the head with the beer cooler, and Taz brags about the quickness of JBL.
Yes.
This was not a squash match, but it had the squash match feeling.
It had that smell.
But the thing is, JBL kind of kept you entertained.
And OJ had to, I really didn't pay much attention to the match, just a little bit, because JBL. You was focusing on JBL. What is he going to say next about being a wrestling god and
going to the heavens? And but the cool thing that JBL did really in this is that he sold Benoit as being a great wrestler and a champion.
And Taz brought up, wrestlers don't do that much. They always say, oh, my opponent, he can't shine my shiny boots or nothing.
Well, that's what JBL usually says, but I guess today he decided
that. He did a complimentary move. And he also referred to Otis the best athlete in SmackDown history. One of the best athletes.
But you know what? I think OJ does have the time and shine.
He has potential.
OJ is a good man, Carter. First, you need to cut his hair. I mean, at least do something with the hair. Second, you need to give him a meaningful gimmick. I think I would rather for Burchill to feud with OJ rather than feud with Regal. But I guess it makes more sense that Regal is feuding, but I think Regal has good in-ring ability, and he can be used to establish up-and-coming superstars.
I think after WrestleMania, they're going to start establishing some of these guys.
Marcus, did you hear what I just said? What? Regal could be used to establish up-and-coming superstars. What is he doing? He's establishing Burchill. So they are doing the right thing with Regal.
Yes.
Oh, so.
After WrestleMania, they will establish probably more wrestlers and stuff.
Hopefully. Now it's time. It's an interview, John.
By the way, Chris Benoit won with the sharpshooter.
I said that.
No, you said.
I said he tapped out. I said
did
OJ.
You?
Yeah, I said OJ tapped out.
We digress so much.
Look right here. You can look right here. He applies the sharpshooter and OJ taps out.
Oh, yes. You said it very quick. I started hitting him with the beer cooler.
All right.
I forgot about
so that. So Josh Matthews interviews Mark Henry. They aired a footage where Undertaker challenged Mark Henry to a casting match.
And why
last week.
Do whenever Mark Henry has to cut a promo, we have to get a zoomed in close up of his wet, sweaty,
you know what?
Stinking
and the bad beard. Part, his promos aren't bad. No. Because the point is, what messes him up is that we have to have the zoom in footage.
Before! This is the moment of the week for me for some reason. Daivari's Miami Vice / Disco Daivari is what I'm calling
it. It's not okay, so it looked like he went to Triple H closet.
Yes.
He pulled out a Triple H sports jacket with the feather collar, and then he went to the store and bought a bright orange shirt with a big ass collar and decided that he was gonna be Mr. Pimped Out Manager.
He's Disco Daivari this week. I mean, it was just amazing. Let's get to Mark here.
Alright, so Josh Matthews is with Daivari and Mark Henry. Henry says that he is not afraid of a casket or the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania because he doesn't fear anything. He dares the Undertaker to get face-to-face with him, and he is going to call the Undertaker out on Saturday Night Main Event. So right now, we have something to look forward to, Undertaker making some type of entrance. I mean,
yes.
I think mainly with the Undertaker, this whole thing is the entrance that he can make to, you know, really do something in this show.
You have to put the Undertaker on the show because this Saturday Main Event is pretty much the ultimate build for WrestleMania. This is supposed to get everybody, even if you've been out of the loop for wrestling for a while, this is supposed to put you back in WrestleMania mode.
Exactly. Now it's time for the main
because
event.
Because it's on NBC on primetime.
Now it's time for the main event. We have Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, and Randy Orton teaming up to face Eminem, Mercury and Nitro, and Mark Henry. How this match starts off, Orton hops in the ring, he slaps Nitro, but then runs behind Angle and Ray, and they act as bodyguards for Randy Orton. I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. Pretty much this entire match, Randy Orton dodges tags.
No, there's no evidence that he dodges
tags. Yes, it is.
Look, think about this. How many times did they look in his direction?
Marcus, see, you gotta, after this, I want you to go back and watch it. Every time they go over to make a tag, Randy is reaching out, but then he turns away.
I know he
does
that.
He ties the shoe or something like that.
I know he does that. But it just seemed like when Angle and Mysterio were looking for a tag, they were looking at each other and just saying, Orton can do what he's doing over there. We just don't care.
It doesn't matter. Angle starts off the match with Nitro, and they exchange arm locks with each other until Nitro starts to attack Angle ribs. Now, pretty much Nitro has been practicing. He's learning arm locks now. He's just not... I'm kind of upset because they didn't do his spot where he flips.
No, he kind of did a leg drop when he had him on the knee, you know, as a backbreaker guy knee. When he
no,
did that,
I mean his spot where they get him in the corner.
I hate that.
I like that.
This just seems like it's overdone.
No, because one day it's going to kill him.
What?
It's going to kill him because he's going to land on his neck the wrong way.
No.
All right, so Mercury then gets tagged in. He works over Kirk ribs also. Mercury climbs the top rope, but Kirk catches him with a belly-to-belly. Ray is then tagged in, and he lands a springboard off the ropes. Ray then lands a multiple twist award. That's when he goes around your body. Then Nitro slingshots Rey to Mark Henry's chest. Rey mounts Mark Henry for some punches inside the corner, but Randy distracts the ref. This allowed Miami Vice Daivari to slam Rey.
Disco Daivari, please.
Oh, Disco Daivari across the top rope, throw first. Eminem then landed an elbow drop that looked a lot like the death sentence, but with an elbow drop over the top rope. It was a nice maneuver.
It was a leg drop.
No, it was an elbow.
You sure it was an elbow?
It was an elbow, yes. That's why, because if it was a leg drop, I would call it a death sentence, but it was an elbow. That's what was more different, because it was an elbow.
I thought it was a leg drop.
It was an elbow. Once again, we can go back to the footage.
We'll do it later.
So, what happens after that is that they throw Rey to the outside of the ring. That's where Daivari and Melina work over Rey. Rey lands a dropkick to the face of Mercury. Henry is then tagged in, and he headbutts Rey and stomps on Rey's head. Henry then gorilla press slams Rey down to the mat, but he misses his big splash. Rey lands a kick to the back of Mark Henry's head. Angle gets a tag in. He delivers suplex to Eminem. Angle then lands an angle slam to one of the Eminem members. I can't remember who, but Henry breaks the count. Then Angle gives Henry the angle slam. He tags in Mysterio, who lands the 619 on Mercury. That's who received the angle slam. Orton then tags himself in and pins Mercury for the win. Now, when they showed the replay of Randy Orton tagging himself in, he was inside of the ring when he tagged himself in, which I feel is, you really can't
That's
do in wrestling.
That's really illegal. First of all, he broke, he wasn't even holding the tag rope. And by the way, Nick Patrick really on Eminem, hold that damn tag rope. It's a six-man tag. Everybody can hold the rope. That's a different story. But anyway, Orton jumps in, not on the tag rope, throws Rey out the ring, and that's considered a tag?
I honestly don't know what was going on in that situation. I think Patrick lost control.
I mean, there was no sense of a tag from Orton whatsoever. I mean, he couldn't reach over for this
main event, it was okay, but I think the only thing that this main event was here to establish more
Randy Orton, the hatred for Randy Orton.
That Randy Orton is an asshole.
Yes, he's a big ass.
Overall, though, I have to say, this was a fairly enjoyable episode of SmackDown.
It was stale to me.
I enjoyed it.
It just seemed like nothing really grew.
Nothing happened out of the ordinary, but it was watchable. It wasn't like a couple of weeks ago where you was watching like, oh, this is just crap. This is pure crap.
Was it last week?
Last week was the worst wrestling week in history.
Oh, as we call it.
Yes.
But anyway, it wasn't in history. Come on, there's been plenty more worse. Anyway, it just didn't seem like it had it this week. It just seemed nothing was special. The Boogeyman Booger T thing was just really...
That was probably one of the worst... That was the worst botched Boogeyman spot they have did since now, the Boogeyman has been...
It's not Charmelle's fault, honestly, because she sold the fear. She sold the fear, and I don't believe it was booked. It was really nobody's fault. It was just a bad segment.
Just the whole hiding in the ring, and then I think the fire.
Yeah, the
Jeremy,
fire. It could have had some offense.
I think also another problem with the show was the organization of the matches. They could have really thought out how to organize these matches, but I guess they did it for whatever reason. So, this has been our SmackDown report. We'll be back with listener feedback, some candid comments, and then that'll be the show pretty much.
And that will be the
53.
That'll be 53, yes!
So, all right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Well, everybody, it's time for the end of our show almost, so let's get with our listener comments and our candid comments and
candid.
Wrestler of the
what
week.
What was you in the word candid this week?
Candid is my St. Patrick's Day word.
How? It's not Irish.
I know.
That was the worst Irish in person.
So anyway,
I apologize for anybody's Irish.
So we received an email from Ebert, and in the subject line of his email, it said Marcus was really off this past episode.
Oh.
He says, "What's up, guys? Hey, Marcus, aren't you glad that the big booty daddy is back on TV? Listen to episode 52, and I have some stuff to say. I like the Owen Hart article. I am sure that Owen Hart DVD and Hall of Fame will happen when business is down or when there's another scandal. They only do stuff like that when they need something to distract fans from the horrible content."
Now, the Owen Hart, you know, thing article was the one we have a link to on the show that was written by our listener, Kevin Smith, who also hosts the show.
Yeah.
And we can't repeat the website because I totally forgot. I can't.
itech.uk.
It's on the site, the sharpshooters.blogspot.com. We have a complete link there.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Destination X, Norma Smiley is
Should
being...
Should we comment on it? Is
no, I was going to finish reading the email before we comment, okay, but okay. then usually you butt in. Like
okay,
you,
okay. I'm just butting in right there. I think that was key to...
No, you could butt in afterwards. So anyway, Destination X, Norma Smiley is being jobbed to death in TNA. That pisses me off. They treat Norma like they treat Jay Lethal. I'm really glad that Jay Lethal got his butt spanked. I disagree with Marcus and the listener Floyd. Jay Lethal is lethal to wrestling because he reminds me more of Scrappy Doo than an actually wrestler. For now on, Jay Lethal will be now called Puppy Power. How can Jarrett match be the match of the week, Marcus? What match were you watching? Did anyone notice that Jarrett had to be the last act of the pay-per-view? The man doesn't have a belt, yet he had to be in the last segment of the pay-per-view. Or as I call it, the show Marcus was watching with Stevie Wonder eyes. Mm-hmm. The best part of the open segment was the amount of piss in a cup. I took a drug test recently for a new job, and there is no way he could have done that. If he had to go that bad, the man would have been doing the pee-pee dance while
he would have been doing the shot by the strike.
while the McMahons were talking. That wasn't pee, that was apple juice, man.
I'm going to say,
if anyone seriously believe that Victoria Candace attacked Tori Wilson, they are crazy. Mickey James attacked Tori, just like Trish's boyfriend. Tori would probably disappear after WrestleMania. Marcus thinks it is Cowboy Troy? Question mark. I would quote a saying from the great TV show, Martin. Marcus, you stupid. Cowboy Troy, my God, guys. I thought Coach was the whitest man with black skin. I was wrong. Dang, I don't have a problem with anyone that sings country music, but this man was bland. He was like a piece of chicken breast, dry, thick, and lacking in taste.
Vern's a great quote.
Vern Gagne was a great wrestler from the AWA. Hulk Hogan came from the AWA before he went to WWF. Vern is considered a legend, but behind the scenes, he has a very bad reputation for being a prick. That's why a lot of people don't talk about him like they talk about superstar Billy Graham, Harley Race, or Bruiser Brody. He definitely deserves it, but no one in wrestling will really get too excited about it. My thoughts on the cage match, everything that Marcus said, I believe the opposite. Mm. My thoughts about the signing, everything that Marcus said, I believe is the opposite. On the listener comments, yes, Marcus, you do babble. Yes. Hallelujah. And yes, Marcus, you are a screaming lunatic.
Yes.
Regarding Floyd's plan to have Shawn Michaels revenge Stephanie's baby when she loses it to Triple H, I have an addition to it. Let Stephanie have the baby and let the baby miraculously grow up really quick to the age of 8.
Oh, so bummer.
Then have Shawn and Triple H fight. Triple H will bring out his sledgehammer and will try to attack Shawn. Little Triple H will then pull out a baby sledgehammer and give it to Shawn. Shawn will beat down Triple H with the baby sledgehammer. Shawn reforms Generation X with baby Triple H. The best Saturday night main event was Hogan getting jumped by Zeus. Zeus came into the ring after Hawk won a match and then beat the mess out of Hawk. It was just a beat and a half. The best part of it was Zeus was the same guy that was Debo from Friday Movie. I doubt we'll be seeing anything better than that on Saturday night. That's all I have to say. Marcus, holler if you hear me because the big booty daddy is back on TV. Now, before I let Marcus go, just want to let people know, we lived in the same neighborhood as Zeus.
Yeah,
he is from our neighborhood, which is kind of cool.
So well, anyway, it's not kind of cool.
So well, anyway,
we never met him.
No, let me touch.
I mean, Ray J went to our school, but we don't mention that.
Let's not talk about this. Anyway, let's get on Cowboy Troy real quick. I had a chance. I was inside the kitchen eating a little snack, and I so happened to pass the Nashville Star,
uh-oh,
the show that he's hosted with Wynonna Judd. If you guys thought that he was bland like a chicken breast on wrestling, no,
bland like a dry, thick, and lacking in that's a different one.
No, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
This dude is awful. He ain't white. I don't even know what this man is.
Eric, he's out of this world.
Mark's only one thing that we got to say.
What?
You better buy a vowel.
You better buy a vowel. Yes, he is bland.
But he gave us that line.
Yes, he gave us buy a vowel. And whenever we feel like talking stupid, we will say, you better buy a vowel. But...
All right, Marcus. Now,
Cowboy Troy did
what do you feel about Ebert's comments on Norma Smiley being dropped? Me, personally, I have never liked Norma Smiley because of the damn tights that he wears. I just can't. He reminds me of the dude from Sister Sister. I can't think of his name. The guy that played the dad. It really messes me up. He also reminds me of Robert Townsend. It doesn't work for me.
That's a different story. But anyway, I just don't like Norman Spock, I can never see him as anything but a jobber. I mean, I can't take him serious. When you have a move called the Big Wiggle, you can't take a man serious like that. Especially, you can't even change him away from the Big Wiggle, because that's the first thing that's going to pop in everybody's head. And if you do change his gimmick to something else, he's the Big Wiggle, Norman Smiley.
And with me and Jay Lethal, I agree with you totally, Ebert. I feel that, yes, Jay Lethal might be a great athlete, but to me, he does not have... He does not, to me, I don't see superstar from him.
That's up to the writers to change his character.
No, Marcus, you look at Sheldon, even though Sheldon can't talk, you can
see...
He can
talk a little bit.
No, but even when I'm talking, you can see a superstar. Jay Lethal, yeah, and then the little point that he does...
That's because he doesn't have character yet.
Mark, he's goofy.
He is like Scrappy Doo. I get it, puppy power. It is stupid, but yet... They need to give him some type of character or something, because do they even instruct him to have any type of character? Because his character is a jobber. Maybe this is what they want him to do, to be this bland, this Scrappy Doo character, be like, da da da. Maybe that's what they want.
And know what I really need? I need him to lose the cornrows. They just don't work.
Nah, cornrows.
They don't work. Because the bad part about his cornrows are bad, Marcus. It's like he needs to go hire somebody to do it. You look at Allen Iverson cornrows, they're nice and neat.
Eric, it's Allen Iverson, man.
No, but you look at Jay Lethal's cornrows, they are razzled out. I mean, it's... He got an image. And you know what?
He has an image problem, yes.
I don't think... Email that we got, did we really comment on the dress of Christian, I think, last week? Yeah, Christian does dress like crap. I forgot who sent us that email. It might have been you, Ebert. Might have not.
Who?
Remember?
Christian dressed like crap?
Yeah, he doesn't dress like a
Christian
champion.
Cage?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Dressed like crap.
Yeah.
Because
I said he does. He doesn't dress like a champ. He's like, yes, he does. And I was like, what? No,
he dressed like crap. He's tacky.
Yeah, it's very
but
tacky.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the tackiness. As long as he don't steal everybody's gimmick.
Like, I mean,
The Rock and Jericho. I mean, come on, enough.
Like I said, little baby game 8 years from now. I'm looking forward to that.
I don't need the 8 years. They should go on soap opera with it. Take a season break after WrestleMania and the kid's like 32. Why you let me down?
And Marcus, just to quote him, holla if you hear me, the big booty daddy is back on TV.
Yeah, but you know.
Your hatred for Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I hate that man.
All right. Once again, Ebert.
I can't say anything about him.
Keep the emails coming. We appreciate it. We also received an email from our boy Manning in London. He says, what's up, guys? Show just get funnier every week.
This week may have been
when Marcus does cut people off, it is generally funny, and he has a tad bit more humor to the situation being described.
Yeah. Positive email for Marcus. Yes, one for me.
Is that important to you?
One for me.
All right. On a SmackDown, considering Mark Henry is doing a Fat Man Frog Splash, I think we would need to call it the Toad Splash.
Yes.
As toads are a lot bigger than frogs.
Yeah, I would agree. Just call it the Toad Splash. Do it.
No, he said. Also says, I like how Lashley's being worked now. No longer these dominant squash matches. I think he's close to the finished product. Did Lashley headbutt the chair? While it was spearing whoever that was, while he was spearing Sylvain. I think so. I think with me, and I think it's with a lot of these wrestlers, kind of like with Samoa Joe, I think they take this undefeated streak a little bit too far. Because
ever since the Goldberg 200 and whatever he won,
I think you don't have to have an undefeated streak to get somebody. I think for me personally, I appreciated Lashley a lot better once I saw that he could actually be beat up some.
Yeah. I think you get somebody over. This is the best thing. This is the best situation. It works for everybody. You get some young guy. You put him in a ring with a vet. I'm like, you know, Finley or somebody. Kind of like the John Cena Kurt Angle thing. It made John Cena look phenomenal when he came out and fought Kurt Angle in that one match. When he was ruthless aggression, John Cena.
And that's what I think.
That's what you need to do.
And I think that's a lot of issues with the young stars nowadays in wrestling, is that they don't have that many vets that can establish, like, I bet you put this, you like Burchill and Regal, let's take an example. Mm-hmm. I don't think Burchill can have the quality of matches that, even though people might say they're mediocre, but if you put him in the ring with somebody else beside Regal, let's say you put him with OJ, I don't think they could have pulled off the same thing, because you have Regal's cagey vetness that he knows how to play to the crowd because he's been in this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Regal can pull off great matches, because that Benoit Regal match that's on that DVD,
that's
an excellent match. I mean,
it's what the guy who was doing color commentary with saw, the perfect match. It starts out slow. It rhythms in there. It has great rhythm and everything. It's a pretty good match.
Then we go back. He says, Vince on the cover, muscle and fit. fitness as well. Just scary. Burchill has impressed once again this week, slightly more parity this week, and for the second week running, the fans were actually in the mid-ish card match. But so did Jillian Crystal. I think Cole has named the seat for himself Walk the Plank, which does sound rather good. Not sure if it was thick. I'm not really cool with Walk the Plank because it's kind of hard to say. It's like, I mean, how they gonna call it? He just walked the plank.
It's the same amount of words as Davy Jones Locker.
No, but I guess you could say, no, I'm talking about how could you call this? Like, Regal has just walked the plank. Or it just doesn't seem right to me.
No, it works. It works. It just seems like it works. I don't see, it has to be a pirate name. A typical pirate line. Walk the plank, put it down, Davy Jones Locker.
The interview segment.
Or the big yard.
he said the interview segment was quite funny. I would agree. He flicked over when a Royal Rumble. Royer came on, just seemed to be boring me. I would love to change the channel too, but there's a couple of reasons why I didn't.
For the show.
I'm a Matt Hardy fan, and I have to watch the show. For the show. Damn it, why are they doing this to Matt Hardy?
Yeah, I forgot to bring this up. I think we're thinking on the same thing.
What, is it the Prince of Punk?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Go.
Mine is about the Matt Hardy and Animal match. I'm going back to that dark times. Why can't Matt Hardy get one clean victory? Why couldn't he just beat Animal? I mean, every time he wins for the past, like, 6 months, it's been by DQ. Or, you know, pretty much by DQ. That's the only thing he's came close to. JBL got DQ beating him, I think twice. And then here comes Animal getting caught DQ with the brass knuckle. Matt Hardy hasn't had a clean victory, I don't know how long. And every time he fights, he loses in those tag matches. I mean, just give the man one clean victory.
Matt Hardy has his perfect tag team partner. I was reading an interview on WWE.com. They reported on the signing of Shannon Helms, or the Prince
Shannon
of Punk.
Shannon
Moore, my bad. He said in his interview that he wouldn't mind teaming back up with Matt Hardy or his former partner Gregory Helms to form a tag team, but he doesn't want to be a Matitude follower. He wants to be, you know, the Prince of Punk. I think these two really work well as a tag team because, you know, you have Hardy kind of the brunt of the team and then Shannon Moore being the Jeff.
He's Jeff,
pretty much. And I think it will work out really good. So I'm looking forward to see that. And then also, they don't really know what they're going to do with Shannon. They don't know if they're going to make him a cruiserweight, but I just think that you could do so much. I think Shannon Moore, yes, it helps out Shannon, but I think it helps Matt Hardy out.
It helps everybody.
Indeed. So also, he go back to it. He says, Randy Orton returns to the previous music. Obviously, they felt that the new tune wasn't good enough for the Orton's character. I would agree.
Everybody.
Really wasn't added to the main event either again this week. Is Saturday night main event going to be a more regular, or is it a one thing? Because I think if they camp it and hold it just before joint brand pay-per-views, we could see more interaction between the brands leading up to SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. And Manny, I think that's what they're going to do.
I think it's going to be every 2 months.
No, whenever, like you said, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania.
That's every 2 months.
The thing is, from what I remember about Saturday Night Main Event, that's how it worked back in the day.
Yeah.
Before it was a big pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was only 4 pay per views back in the day.
I prefer that though, man. Just every 2 months it should be a pay per view. I hate this every month pay per view. I mean, every 2 months, it should only be... Let me show you how 4 pay-per-views. I believe TNA should only have 4. Simple as that. Or something like that. You can't have, like... It's like golf. This has nothing really... The majors. You have 4 majors. The Open, the British Open, the United States Open, the Masters, and the PGA Championship. That's all it should be.
Indeed. So, Manny, thanks for your email. We appreciate your insight.
Did we miss something?
No, that was it. That was our last email. We hit.
No, I'm talking about his email.
No, because we read the email. We comment on each thing as we read.
Okay.
Because he put it in bullet points. Now, back to the whole heat and velocity thing.
This is your closing comment. We have entered the closing comments.
I feel like they waste too much talent in the whole idea of they put all these people on velocity and heat, and they take for granted that not everybody has a connection that's able to get this contact into their house. I think it's
only 9% or 6.
I mean, I don't. And also,
and the people who don't have.
I don't think you have to have a star on SmackDown to, you know, always make people watch it. Because without stars, you'll watch. Also with Raw, I think you let some of these young cats who don't never really get to shine on TV.
Like we did again. This goes back to our long time poll we had. Should they have days off and all that? We've been through this.
Yeah, let the Gemini fight. Let those guys.
Yes, I haven't seen them. They don't even fight on Velocity.
Let Simon Dean have fights on SmackDown.
He fights on Velocity.
I mean, it's like, it's a lot of good matches that happens.
Oh, man.
You're trying to tell me the Gold Dust match?
Let me tell you something that was a good match. I'm not sure if it was super crazy. But Super Crazy and Simon Dean had a hell of a match on Velocity last week. I haven't seen Velocity this week. And I believe everybody should tune into Velocity just to see how much talent is being wasted in the World Wrestling Federation. Entertainment, right, or whatever.
You know what? I don't think our comments will know because I really have nothing else to say. I'm kind of tired. I'm still got this little hangover.
Oh, no, man. Get it together. You need to get the Irish out of you.
I can't, man.
Get the Irish out of you.
I can't, man.
Man, anyway, what my closing comments is, I agree the Cruiserweight should have fights that doesn't concern the title all the time. Just give it more meaning, I feel, if you have people fighting to get to the title instead. One week, Kid Cass is no longer contender. Next week, you have Funaki. I mean, it just seems like it'd be more if he just fought for the title shot more than just, oh, he'll get a title shot, he'll probably win. And, you know, something like that. Give more flair to it.
And another thing, bring back the hardcore belt.
Simple as that.
That's just me. All right, that's the show. Our website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. Our email, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Our poll question is coming down Tuesday.
It's coming down tonight.
You can Skype us, username thesharpshooters, or call us 310-928-6889. We appreciate all the support that you guys give us. We're glad that you like listening to our shows. We'd like to send a thank you out to everybody that listens because, you know, you don't have to listen, but you do. And we like that.
And we are free. I say that.
Okay, I guess.
There's no real reason to say it, but you got to say right? You can write the stupid review in iTunes. I don't care about that. You know what? I'm not going to even say that no more. That's the final time I'm going to say it. Don't do it. Anyway, Podcast Alley.
Okay.
We're ranked 432 or 36 or something. We got two more votes.
Because the more podcasts jump up, the more that we going to dip down and things. Whatever. As long as we have our loyal listeners, we're going to see what we can do. And once again, I'm still trying to figure out how to get everything worked out. So, like, we'll see. So, anyway, I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters. Hopefully, we'll do better next episode. I don't think this was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it seemed bad. It was a lot of digressing.
But I think you guys like the digressing.
Do they? Well, do you like the digressing? Do you like, one moment, we're talking about Animal Hardy. Next thing you know, we're talking about what they should do with the Cruiserweight division.
But at least we're not digressing off of wrestling. Like, we're not talking about the World Baseball Classic. We're talking
about American loss.
Anyway.
We're not talking about the World Cup.
Let it go, Marcus. All right. So, I'm Eric, like we said before.
And
he's Marcus.
The grand finale.
And we guys will be back for episode 54.
The sequel.